Benjamin Franklin was quoted as saying that nothing in life is permanent except death and taxes. But what happens if you die and you owe taxes? Hello, my name's Jim Wade, and I'm a tax attorney here in Maine, and welcome to Tax Resolution Talk. In this episode, we're going to be talking about what happens when you die and you owe either the IRS or the state tax authorities. But before we go down that road, let me just put out a caution, hey, watch out for this. This area is very complicated as far as what happens when you die and you owe taxes. So if you or someone you know has a situation where you're concerned about a tax that you owe and what may happen after you sort of shed your mortal coil, then you really want to talk to an attorney who specializes in the area of dealing with the IRS. Okay, so enough said on that. So the first thing to understand is, you know, what happens when you die? Now, I'm not a probate attorney. I'm not going to go into all the details, but generally speaking, it can be broken down into this. When you die, two things are going to happen. Certain assets are going to pass into your probate estate, whether or not a probate is formally opened or not, and certain other assets are going to pass by either contract or by law. By contract are things like life insurance policies. They'll pass to whoever you designate. And by law are things like your vehicle or your real estate if you're married. Those will automatically pass by law, generally speaking. You can have some property that's not held with your spouse as joint tenants. So you've got probate assets, non-probate assets. The probate assets normally have to be administered by either a personal representative or an executor. Now, two things happen. Either, you know, the estate is not administered because it doesn't meet the requirements to go through the formal process, or people just don't do the process. So just be aware that by law, everything passes into your estate, even if that estate is never fully administered. For whether it be just it doesn't need to be or they just are forgotten. But assuming everything goes the way that it's supposed to, the estate will be administered by a personal representative or an executor. Each state has its own sort of terminology. And the probate estate then deals with the assets that pass into probate. They marshal it, meaning they gather all of the assets. They then look to either the will. And when you have a will, there are beneficiaries of the will. But if someone dies without a will, then you have heirs. They are the people under law who will inherit. Oftentimes people will throw around the word inherit for someone who takes a share under a will, but that's not the correct terminology. However, if I slip and say inherit, it's because I'm so used to saying inherit for both taking by will or taking by law if you die without a will. I'm as guilty as that as everybody. So anyways, if you've got someone who has a probate estate and there's a tax debt, then the personal representative or executor will then marshal or gather those assets and then look to see what claims have been made against the estate. Things like medical bills from the final illness of the deceased, unpaid utility bills, cable, television, and including tax debts. Now, that's not all the claims there can be, but for purposes of this, we're going to talk about tax debts as claims against an estate. That personal representative, if they have tax debts that they're aware of, they're supposed to make sure that those are paid. Now, there is a process by which creditors file claims against the estate, and if they don't file those claims, then generally speaking, they're barred from getting paid out of the assets of the estate. So if you have, say, a credit card company and you have a credit card bill and they're notified that there is an estate for the person who had that credit card and they don't file a claim, then if they later come back and say, hey, we want money, you're by law not allowed to pay them. And generally speaking, this also applies to state tax authorities, so they have to make sure they file claims. My understanding is generally they have a little bit more time to file a claim than, say, a credit card company or a hospital, but they still have to file claims. Now, the IRS is different. The IRS is the federal government, and under the Supremacy Clause, they're not bound by state law. So state claims periods don't apply, and they can essentially come in after those assets up to the point where the debt goes away by federal law. And that's generally 10 years from the date the tax is assessed. I don't want to confuse it by going into assessments and collection statute end dates, but just understand IRS is not bound by those same rules. So as a personal representative or executor, if they have a state claim, they want to be careful to make sure that they track whether the claim is filed or not. If it isn't filed, then they probably would want to talk to an attorney to make sure that either they still need to pay that claim or they're barred from paying that claim because they don't want to get in trouble by paying what shouldn't be paid. But if they know of an IRS debt and a claim is not filed, then you want to... This gets into an area of, do you just wait and see what the IRS does, or do you pay the IRS regardless of whether they file something or not? I always err on the side of caution. I would contact the IRS if they haven't filed a claim, and there's assets available to pay the claim, and I would find out how much it is and pay them. Because as personal representative or executor, if the IRS or state tax authorities can get paid out of the estate and you instead gave over that property to the heirs or the beneficiaries of the estate, then you could be on the hook for it. If you're a beneficiary, maybe you don't care, but if you're someone who is a friend of the family, you really want to watch out for that. So we talked about, what do you do if you have an estate where there are at least assets sufficient to pay the tax debts? You get the claims, you figure out what the tax liabilities are, and you pay them. Each state has a different list of priorities of payment. In Maine, you have payments for personal representative and other administrative costs, which include paying a probate attorney to administer the estate. There are certain exemptions under state law for widows and children. And then you have, usually it's federal and state tax debts, and so on and so forth. So if you have a situation where there is more claims than there are assets of the estate, then typically beneficiaries or heirs get nothing. And, you know, if you're on a lower part of the scheme for payment, then you get either just a fraction of what you're owed or nothing. Just be aware there's a scheme for how payments are made under the estate. Now, if you have a situation where the IRS or the state tax authorities aren't going to get paid all their claims, then you pay them what you can, or if you can't pay them anything, then you don't pay them. The estate is then insolvent. It sits there. At that point, it's done. The IRS typically, if you've got an insolvent estate, they oftentimes won't bother filing a claim and they won't bother trying to get paid out anything. State tax authorities, they typically are a little more aggressive, and so even if they're not going to get fully paid, they may still come with their hand out looking for something. But just be aware, if you've got an insolvent estate, then oftentimes the IRS just kind of passes it by. But you want to, as a personal representative or executor, you really want to keep that in mind. So let's talk about joint tax debts, because it's not a different issue, but also a different issue. So if you have a tax liability, the one thing you want to watch out for is filing a joint return. Because if the IRS can't come after you, let's say there's no assets in the estate, but your spouse filed with you, they're on the hook. So they can go after your spouse's assets. So I don't want to call it pre-planning for death, but if you're aware that you're going to have some tax debts, then you really want to be careful about filing a joint return, especially if you're not doing well, because now the other person's on the hook. Whereas if you don't have any assets, then the estate would pay out what it could, and then the rest would just I don't want to say be forgiven, but they would just sit there unpaid until the debts go away on their own. But if you file a joint return, well, now the IRS has a different pocket to take the money out of. So what happens, however, if, you know, the person's married and dies but hasn't filed returns? Well, similar issue. At this point, you want to consider whether it's a good idea to file those joint returns up to the date of death. Usually it's advisable not to, but that really depends on the particular circumstances of each taxpayer. So you'd want to have an accountant go and do the returns with both as a joint return then as a separate return to see which works out better. Because it may be that maybe there's more taxes due filing separate, but all of that will be, you know, sort of, they'll either be not paid by the estate, but there's not enough assets, so who cares, or it's going to be a little bit more than if they filed joint, but the estate can take care of it, and the other spouse can now get refunds. So there's a bunch of different scenarios that can play out. You want to crunch the numbers. Now let's go back a little bit to the beginning. Now I mentioned that there was both probate assets and non-probate assets. Just a quick reminder, probate assets are basically things that are titled in your name, as opposed to things that are passed to other people by contract or by law. So real estate held as joint tenants, insurance contracts, retirement plans. Some people have interest in trusts that pass sort of, you know, by the terms of the trust and don't go into your estate. Non-probate assets can also be subject to taxes. So if you're a beneficiary of a life insurance policy or retirement plan, and the person had a tax liability that existed before the transfer, then you need to be careful. If the IRS gave notice to the taxpayer and made demand for payment, and the taxpayer didn't pay it, then a lien arises automatically by law. A lien is a passive collection device. It's a charge against property, they call it, but think of it this way. The most common example of a lien is there. If you go into the Registry of Deeds or similar county government agency which records like transfers of property, then there'll oftentimes be liens which are sort of notices to creditors that, hey, if you're going to buy this property, be aware someone else says they're owed money and they get first dibs. And there's a priority scheme as to, you know, if you have a number of different liens on a property, who gets paid first? Really, that's not such a concern to the buyer, but to the seller it is, because who's going to get paid? In this case, it kind of flips it on its head a little bit, because if there's that lien exists, it doesn't have to be recorded. When it's recorded, it's only notify third parties, but it doesn't have to be sort of told to the taxpayer. That lien's there, and if they later transfer that property, whether during life or by death, at death, then that person who receives it may get notification from the IRS that, hey, we have a claim against this property. This is one of those complicated areas where, you know, depends on when the transfer is made and when the tax is assessed. The IRS sometimes will prioritize collecting from the probate estate and not so much from the non-probate transfers. Just be aware, it's an issue. So if you have insurance policies, a retirement plan, and a tax debt, you want to be concerned about what happens after you pass, because you may be taking your tax problems and then giving them over to whoever receives that property. Also, conversely, if you're the person who's received something from family or a friend and you know they had a tax problem, you want to be careful about what you do with that asset after you get it, because you may be receiving some notification from the IRS saying, hey, oh, by the way, you owe us that property back so that we can liquidate it for paying those taxes. Let's turn now to what if you have an estate where you're the personal representative or executor and you find out the person has died and not filed 1 or more years of taxes. As the legally appointed personal representative or executor, you're obligated to file those unfiled returns, and that creates a problem for the estate in that if a return hasn't been filed, there's going to be what they call failure to file and failure to pay penalties. There may actually be some other penalties there, but let's stick to the two most common ones. Those are designed to encourage people to file and pay on time. Now, the person who didn't file the return on time, didn't pay it, well, they're gone now. So any sort of deterrent effect is kind of wasted. However, it's still due and payable by the estate, and the heirs or beneficiaries are the ones who are going to pay it out of their share. I consider it to be unfair. Oftentimes, the heirs and beneficiaries or personal representatives, they have no idea what happened. So they're often at a disadvantage when they're arguing with the IRS that, hey, we think that the return wasn't filed because the person, died. We're sort of in their final illness and they couldn't do it. They were disabled, whether they're alcoholic, drug abuser, maybe they're going through an incredibly nasty divorce. There's a whole number of reasons, which what they call reasonable cause, as to why that penalty shouldn't be applied. But it's very hard for an estate to do that because they're not the person. Let me give you a quick example. This happened to me. I had a client. She was a personal representative of an estate. Her daughter had been out of state for many years, hadn't been talking to the parents. She suddenly shows up back in Maine. Her son had been living with her parents. She says, okay, I want to reestablish connection with you, and I want to sort of reconnect with my son. And they find out that she hadn't filed returns. And she had started trying to get her act together and then dies suddenly from a blood clot. At that point, they then find out that it wasn't just sort of like the last year or two. It was like the last 6 years hadn't been filed. The parents had no real contact with us. They don't know why she didn't file. All they know is she owed a lot of money from these unfiled returns. We filed a penalty abatement request with the IRS, and we said, look, we think she may have been either an alcoholic or may have been abusing drugs. She suddenly could have turned her life around, came back to Maine, was going to reconnect with her son, but died before anything could be done about it. And now the only person who's getting punished is her son, who would otherwise get this money from the estate. IRS says, too bad, so sad. So, and we didn't really have much to go on. All we know is what the family thought had happened, but we had no evidence whatsoever. Unfortunately, that's just the way it happened. So be aware, with unfiled returns, you're obligated to file them, and oftentimes the heirs or beneficiaries are going to get punished for it. If they have information, you really want to talk to them and get sort of the backstory to see if you can't get those penalties abated. But just understand it's likely, not going to happen unless you've got some good documentation. So with that, those are sort of the big issues. There are plenty more than that. And with everything that I say, there's always exceptions and little nuances to all of it. So if you or someone you know has a tax problem, and either that person has died or you're concerned about what happens to these taxes when you die, then you really want to talk to someone. You can contact me by phone at 207-502-7181, or you can email me at jwade, and that's W-A-D-E, at jdwadelaw.com. And that's J-D as in Donald, wadelaw.com. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm always interested about these quirky areas of dealing with the IRS, and this is one of my fun ones that I enjoy talking about. And if you have any comments or thoughts about future episodes, again, my phone number is 207-502-7181, and my email is jwade@jdwadelaw.com. And with that, thank you for listening, and you have a wonderful day.